Quilting with the Stars, Part 1. Christy was a traditional quilter, and her daughter, Claire, was a modern quilter, which meant that they shared an obsession with making quilts, but attended different guilds and had different opinions about the importance of precision piecing. They also followed different quilters on social media and had never heard of each other's favorites. When Christy got excited about a Deb Tucker Facebook post, Claire gave her a blank stare. "Who?" she'd ask, and then added, "Don't tell me. I'm sure she does something very exciting with rulers." As it so happened, Deb Tucker did do some very exciting things with rulers, but Christy hadn't bothered pointing that out. Her daughter had a total of 3 rulers in her collection, and she only used one of them with any regularity. Christy had offered to show her how to use Deb Hunter's star tool, but Claire was too busy improvising churn dash blocks to have much interest. While Christy admired her favorite quilters, Claire fangirled hers, and she got hurt when she left comments on their Instagram post and they didn't at the very least heart what she had to say. The difference, Christy felt, between her famous quilters and Claire's was that Claire's were celebrities, cool, tattooed, and not the least bit interested in getting to know her. The quilters Christy loved seemed like her friends, people who would eagerly spend time with her if and when their paths crossed. At least that's how Christy had thought about them before she met Joanna Lambert. Inviting Joanna Lambert to be the featured speaker and guest judge for the Milton Falls Evening Star's annual quilt show in October had been Amy Mueller's idea, and Christy had quickly seconded it. "We've never had anyone of her caliber before," she'd argued to the other board members at the first planning meeting. "It'll get more people to the show, which means more money and more memberships." Amy had nodded. "Totally worth the investment. We'll recoup Joanna's fees and make a ton of money on top of it." Amy and Christy were guild president and vice president, and together they were turning the Evening Stars into an organization any quilter would be proud to be a member of. In the first year of their term, they had brought in 3 nationally known teachers to do lectures and trunk shows and had also organized a highly successful fidget quilt charity project with 78% guild participation. When Joanna Lambert accepted their invitation to judge the quilt show, there was no doubt that Amy and Christy would be re-elected to their posts in January, and, of course, they had been. Amy scored another coup in February when she secured the old Milton Falls Quilting Company building for the show, free of charge. The 5-story edifice, now known as Building No. 5, had been renovated a few years before and had become the place in Milton Falls for wedding rehearsal dinner parties, startup tech company Christmas soirees, and organic craft beer festivals. The renovators had left the brick walls and ductwork exposed, which seemed to be the look everyone was in love with lately, and had refinished the broad planked hardwood floors so that they looked simultaneously brand new and 100 years old. Which, in fact, they were. When Amy made her announcement at the February Guild meeting, Valerie Marcus, the Guild treasurer, had shaken her head in disbelief. "How on earth did you get Building No. 5 for a weekend in October? No cost. October is the new May as far as weddings are concerned." "Florence Grangerfield, the woman who started the Milton Falls Quilting Company, was my great aunt," Amy had explained. "The building is still in the family, although just barely. But the current owner golfs with Dad, and Dad's dad was one of Florence's favorite nephews. What can I say? It pays to be related to people." "Besides," Christy had added, "they're going to take a ton of pictures and video to use in future marketing campaigns. It's perfect for them to have the building filled with quilts. It speaks to its history. You mean they're going to take pictures of our quilts and then use them in their ads? Deb Gard, a local real estate attorney and the guild secretary, sounded like she thought this was a bad idea. There are copyright issues around that, you know. Amy shrugged. We'll get everyone with a quilt in the show to sign a release. It'll be fine. Besides, how great is it to have our show in the old Quilting Company building? That place has an amazing history. There's a book about it, you know. The company, that is. And a PBS documentary, Christie added. Adding supporting evidence to Amy's positions was her primary job as Guild Vice President. She didn't mind. She was good at it. I think it's great, Valerie said. It'll save us a ton of money. Maybe this year we can afford to rent 2 buses for Quilt National. Amy smiled. That had been one of her campaign promises. I'm going to email Joanna and let her know about getting building number 5 for our show. She's very interested in quilt history, so this will make her visit with us even more special. In the months leading up to the show, Amy and Christie had worked hard to make the quilt show special for Joanna Lambert. They'd reserved a room for her at the Riverview Inn, Milton Falls' most exclusive bed and breakfast, and organized a welcoming dinner at Parsnip, the only restaurant in Milton Falls to ever receive a mention in Food and Wine magazine. Several local quilting luminaries had accepted invitations to the dinner, including Haley Wilde, an internationally renowned art quilter who had never joined the guild but always acted vaguely interested when someone suggested to her that she should. Amy alone handled the correspondence with Joanna, who didn't want too many emails from too many show organizers clogging up her inbox. "Her emails are extremely curt," Amy told Christie, "but never rude." Well, mostly not rude. I don't think she actually means to be rude, anyway. I've seen her on the quilt show a bunch of times, and she always seems as nice as she can be, Christie said. Maybe she's just one of those people with limited social energy, and she's learned she needs to save it for when she's on. You know, when she's teaching or doing an interview. That's what I think, too, Amy agreed. But she sounded disappointed, like she'd been hoping a friendship would develop as she and Joanna emailed back and forth. Christie understood that. When she'd been in charge of making arrangements with Annie Smith for an applique class, they'd struck up a nice rapport in their email exchanges, eventually getting to the point where they asked about children and grandchildren once they'd gotten business out of the way. After the class, their emails had trickled down to an occasional, "Just watched your YouTube video on jelly roll quilts," sort of note from Christie, to which Annie always replied to with a nice, self-deprecating comment. It had been friendly and satisfying, and Christie felt like she and Annie were friends who might try to grab a cup of coffee together if they ever attended the same quilt show. I know Joanna appreciates all the trouble you're going to make her visit a really nice occasion, Christie assured Amy. Some people aren't all that good at email, but when you guys meet in person, it will be a different thing entirely. I think she's going to be thrilled when I take her on the Milton Falls Quilt Trail, Amy agreed, her mood seeming to lift a bit. We really do have a lot of quilt history here. We really do, Christie agreed. We're awfully lucky that way. A month before the show, just as preparations were reaching peak intensity, Amy called to say she was going to have to temporarily step down as guild president and hand the show over to Christie. My mother is having foot surgery, and my father is threatening to leave her if I don't go down there to help out. He's leaving her over a hammer toe? Christie couldn't believe that Amy's father would be that shallow. And bunions, Amy added. She already had her bunion surgery, and it didn't go as well as they'd hoped, so she's been a crank for the last 2 weeks. The problem is, they're in Florida until May, and the surgery is at the hospital in Tampa. I begged Dad to bring her home so she could have it in Milton Falls General, but he's got some big golf tournament coming up. So this is about golf, isn't it? Christy looked out the kitchen window at an overweight cardinal perched on her bird feeder. Maybe she needed to put out a different kind of seed mix, one with fewer calories. Of course it's about golf, Amy replied with a sigh. The fact is, if I don't go, Dad will hire some second-rate home care service, and Mom will never forgive me. So I'm going, and you need to take over until I get back. Hopefully, it will only be a couple of weeks. Mostly, you just have to stay on top of people, especially Kate and Marnie. And you need to stay in touch with Joanna. She's made changes in her travel plans, which is a huge pain, since she doesn't fly and train schedules are more complicated. You'll give me everything I need before you go, won't you? Christy asked. I'll hand over all of my files. I've got everything on a flash drive. Christy found herself feeling excited about taking over the show. She'd never been one for the limelight, but the whole point of being VP, other than supporting the president, was to be ready for situations just like this, where the president was no longer able to serve. Christy had been vice president of all sorts of things. The 10th grade, her high school's Kiet Club, the Tri-Delts during her sophomore and junior years of college. But never once had she been asked to step up and take the reins of an organization. She took to the task immediately. She checked in with Darla McFerrin about the quilt rack rentals and kept in touch via text with Cindy Graham, who had a cousin who was supplying the vendor booths. She followed up with vendors about booth fees and set up a meeting with the fire department official to make sure that the guild didn't do anything in violation of the fire code. She sent brief updates to Amy at the end of the day, mostly just to keep her in the loop. And Amy sent approving replies along the lines of, "I see I've left the show in good hands," and "Everything seems to be coming together." Even Joanna Lambert seemed to approve of the job Christy was doing. "I appreciate your lack of chatter," Joanna wrote in response to Christy's introductory email, in which she briefly introduced herself and explained that she would be taking Amy's place for the time being. "I like a woman who gets straight to the point." Christy was tempted to send an effusive reply to say that she appreciated the fact that Joanna appreciated her brevity and to mention that Joanna's book, The Splendid Simple Sampler, had changed her life, which it in fact had. But that was a conversation that could be saved for later, Christy told herself, after they'd finished conducting their business and had relaxed into an easy friendship over a glass of wine at Parsnip. "You just need to know how to handle some people," Christy explained to Claire, who had dropped by the house at the end of the first week of Christy's reign. Now that Claire was in graduate school at Ashland University, she seemed to prefer driving the 20 miles home on the weekend to do her laundry instead of going to the laundromat across the street from her apartment building. "Joanna likes a just-the-facts-ma'am approach, same way I do." Her daughter raised her left eyebrow into a disbelieving arch, an art she'd perfected during her sardonic teenage years. "Since when have you been a just-the-facts-ma'am person? When I called you this morning to see if it was okay to bring my laundry over, you kept me on the phone for 15 minutes to talk about the pros and cons of starch versus Mary Jane's Best Press." "But we were just chatting. We weren't doing business," Christy insisted. "And you really have to stop using starch, even if it is cheaper." "Cheap is the story of my life right now, Mom," her daughter told her as she headed for the laundry room to get her shirts out of the dryer. "But you can buy me some Best Press for Christmas if it makes you feel better." "It will," Christy assured her daughter, It really will. As the day of the show grew closer and the emails between Christy and Joanna Lambert grew more frequent, something in Joanna's tone warmed a bit. Or at least it seemed that way to Christy. "Just an FYI," Joanna wrote the Monday before the show. "I'm hoping to take a quick trip to Columbus on Sunday to see my grandson, Owen. He's a computer science major at Ohio State and smart as a whip. My husband is looking into whether I can take a train to Columbus from Milton Falls and then travel home from there. I'll keep you updated." It would be the easiest thing in the world for her to drive Joanna to Columbus. Still, Christy hesitated a moment before she responded. Yes, the ride was only a little over an hour, and it would give the two of them a chance to discuss the show. Gossip a little about the quilts Joanna had loved and the ones that hadn't been up to par. Joanna might even have some feedback to offer on Christy's entries, a few tips, a bit of advice. And maybe Christy could bring up an idea she'd been mulling over for a book of patterns that she was thinking about calling, "Oh, Baby, Baby Quilts." And yes, an hour-long car ride might be just the thing to cement their friendship, Christy thought, her fingers poised over the keyboard. But then there would be the hour-long ride home. Not home, even, but back to building number 5, where she'd have to help the others finish breaking down the show. Thinking about it, she felt her arms and legs grow heavy, felt the first tendrils of a tension headache snaking across her forehead. By the end of Saturday, her eyes would be scratchy and red, her voice sandpaper rough. By Sunday, she'd have a hard time remembering her own name. And while she was sure she could muster up the energy for a nice talk with Joanna on the way to Columbus, the highway from Milton Falls to Ohio State was always clogged on Sundays with students returning to their dorms after a weekend at home. And in the fall, 71 North was a long line of fans leaving Columbus after a Saturday night of partying at the Ugly Tuna Saluna and Sunday morning brunch at the German Village Coffee Shop. By the time Christy got back to Milton Falls, she'd be a puddle, a mere nub of a woman. But when would she ever have a chance like this again? Joanna Lambert was one of the greats. She was quilt world royalty, at least in Christy's quilt world. To have a friend of Joanna's caliber? Well, it would be exciting. And the fact was, Christy's life could use some excitement. Somehow she'd become this middle-aged woman living in the middle of Ohio, her children grown and gone, her husband a friendly presence in her life, but not much more than that. She had gray hair, 20 extra pounds around her middle, and a part-time job as a bookkeeper for a local carpet cleaning company, a job she happened to like, but wasn't exactly a roller coaster ride of thrills and wonders. But this past month, taking charge of the show? Now that had been exciting. Getting all her ducks lined up in a row, making phone calls, shooting off emails, corresponding with Joanna. It had given Christy a sense of purpose, of meaning even. Last week, the planning committee had started brainstorming about which quilts would go where. And even though they were working with scanned photos, printed out on cheap copier paper, they could tell that it was going to be an amazing show. As soon as people walked in, they would see a special exhibit on the history of the Milton Falls Quilting Company that included quilts from the 1930s made from the company's famous kits and patterns. Christy got chills every time she thought about it. That long line of quilters that stretched down through history, across 9 decades, all the way to where she was standing. All of them connected to each other. All of them a part of this great project to cover the world in beauty. "Okay, settle down," she told herself, laughing a little, her eyes still trained on the computer screen and Joanna's message. Still, wasn't she allowed to imagine a life a little more exciting than the one she was currently living? Christie knew she'd never be a star quilter like Joanna Lambert, but she was a good quilter and a good teacher, and lots of people in the guild had asked if they could copy her baby tiger and baby giraffe quilt patterns. In fact, she'd been thinking about getting Claire to help her design a professional-looking pattern to sell on Etsy. Giving Joanna a ride might not change Christie's life, but it might cement their friendship, make it more likely that they'd stay in touch. Who knew what that could lead to? "Why don't I just drive you to Columbus to keep things simple?" Christie finally replied to Joanna's email, her fingertips skating across the keyboard. "We can grab a quick lunch at my house after your trunk show Sunday morning and can be in Columbus by 2. Easy as pie. P.S. My son Josh graduated 3 years ago from Ohio State. He loved every minute of his time there." Joanna's response was immediate. "Oh, that would be wonderful. You can't believe what a load you've just taken off my mind. Owen's the dearest boy in the world to me, and I haven't seen him since last Christmas." Christie leaned back in her chair and took a deep breath. This was happening. She and Joanna Lambert were going to be friends. Were already friends. Maybe she should put together a welcome basket for Joanna's room at the B&B, she thought as she climbed the stairs to get ready for work. Fill it with chocolate, a bottle of mineral water, a few Milton Falls postcards, the PBS companion book to the show on the Milton Falls Quilting Company. How had no one thought of that already, she wondered. She should really consider running for guild president next year, even if it meant running against Amy. She had 100 good ideas and had just proven herself very capable of getting things done. She'd never thought about running for president before, but suddenly anything seemed possible. End of part one. Thanks for joining us on the Quilt Fiction Story Guild podcast, a production of Milton Falls Media, Incorporated, all rights reserved. Until next time, this is Frances O'Rourke Dow. Thank you for joining us.